You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
Might not be what you want, but it's what you need. Open up your Bibles to Numbers chapter 14. We're going to start there in Numbers chapter 14. I'm going to preach a message that my wife told me to preach, and I'm going to... Yes, you always know you're in the anointing of God when you are obedient to your wife, and you can't really go wrong. You can't really go wrong in that case. So when you don't know what to do, what does your wife say? At least you know if it's wrong, you won't get in trouble from her. Come on. Hey, thank you for everybody who is extra mile person today going to two services. That's what we love to see. That's where the blessing is found, I believe. That's where breakthrough is found, in the extra mile. People who serve in a service and soak in a service. So if you're serving in this service, thank you very much. If you're soaking in this service, get ready, because God's about to give you something exceptional. So don't just be a one time on a Sunday. Be a every time you can person. If that's a three times on a Sunday, if that's a Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Friday night at My City U, Thursday night at UCSD, whatever it is, wherever, just be anything and everything that you can. In fact, that's what I did. As soon as I stepped into church, I just made a decision that I'm going to be at anything and everything that I can. I wasn't like, what's the minimum I can do and still be noticed? What's the minimum I can show up and still be in the will of God? No, I said, I want to be at everything and anything I can. We have three kids now, all three and under, and two of them being twins. So if you think, well, that's good for you, but not for the busy person. No, we actually have more things now than we ever have been, and we're busier now than we ever have been. So it's possible. So I just want to encourage you to show up. Band, you're going to stay up here with me if that's cool, and because I'm going to preach this message relatively shortly, and then we're going to open up the altar call, because I believe God wants to minister to some people today, and He wants to do something new in your heart. So Numbers chapter 14, and we're going to go in verse 23. Numbers chapter 14, verse 23, it says this: "So they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it." Verse 24: "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." So the title of my message tonight is A Different Spirit. "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully." Because he has a different spirit and because he has followed me fully. See, if you want to know where that came from, it came from Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to read 33 verses. I'm just pre-warning you that there's a lot of verses I'm about to read, but you got to get all of them to understand what I'm going to preach tonight. So I want you to do this. Now, don't just think that God can move just in the points and when I hit a great point or when I rhyme two words together, that God doesn't just move when you rhyme. That doesn't mean I don't like to do it, because it makes things cool. But God doesn't just move when you rhyme. God moves when you read. Because the Word of God is living. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. So it doesn't matter where you are in your life. It doesn't matter what you're walking through. If you just open up the Bible and you read it, the Word of God is going to come alive. So Numbers chapter 13. You guys are firing me up. This is good. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel." It's already decided. God's going to give it to them. "From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them." Everyone a leader among them. Let me tell you this, because we know, a lot of us know this story. 12 spies went into Canaan. And if you're a Christian, grew up old school Christian, you know this song. 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad, 2 were good. You know it? Anybody know that song? Yeah, some of you need to go back to Sunday school. Anyway, that's the song. So a lot of us know the story of this. What I love here in the beginning is this, is Moses said, "I want you to choose these guys," but all of them are leaders in their tribe. But we end up seeing that 12 of them, out of the 12, 10 spoke about how big the problem was. 2 spoke about how big the God was. Because leadership is not about the position. Leadership is not about birth. Leadership is about how you see. Leadership is determined by what you see. God will appoint you to be a leader based on what you see, based on how you see, based on how big you see the enemy, based on how big you see the problem. God's going to choose who the leader is. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran according to the command of the Lord, all of the men who were heads of the children of Israel. Now these were the names from the tribe of Reuben. It goes on that shows, tells the people in verse 6 from the tribe of Judah, Caleb. Verse 8 from the tribe of Ephraim, Hosea, which is Joshua, by the way. Then Moses, verse 17, then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor and whether they are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob near the entrance of Hamath. And they went out through the south and came to Hebron. Ahiman, Shishai, all these weird names. Then they came to the valley of more weird names, and they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol, because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron, all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, which are giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our sight, and so we were in their sight. I'm going to go in verse 14. We're going to read a couple of verses here, or chapter 14. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and the children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among these who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, no, fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Come on, let's pray. God, we thank you for what you're about to do tonight. I thank you for a different spirit resting on every person, a different spirit coming on every single one of us today. God, we thank you that we would not see how big the giant is, but we would see how big our God is. Let that fill us today, a different spirit. Even now, until the end of service, God, I pray that you would reveal new things to people. Open up our hearts. Open up our eyes. God, not to see what people see, but to see what you see. Change us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. It was God's provision. In verse 28, if you read here, verse 28 says, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. What God was trying to do was God was trying to take them into a place where he could provide for them. God was trying to take them into a place that was filled with milk and honey. God was trying to take them to a place where there was fortified walls, where there was great soil, where there was everything that they could ever needed. But if we don't fix our eyes on God, instead fix our eyes on the problem, the provision can look like a problem. Our provision can look like a problem because this Canaan, the promised land, was not meant to be a problem. Was meant to be the promise and was meant to be the provision. But only two of the 12 saw it as provision. They went in like this. You got to get this. 12 of them went in. 10 of them saw the great walls and the great walls around the city as a problem to get in. Two of them saw it as a great place to inhabit because they knew once they could get in, they would have protection from their enemies. Once they could defeat the enemy, then they could live in the land that God had purpose for them. Two of them saw it as provision. 10 of them saw it as a problem. See, I want to tell you this, that the reason that Caleb and Joshua had a different spirit is because when they went in there, they understood that this is God's provision, not God's problem. That this is God's provision, not the problem. They saw it from the very beginning as a different place. See, understand this, that when Moses called them to go in, he did not call them to go in and see the problem. He called them to go in and see the provision. He did not call them in to go see how big the enemy was. He said this, I need you to go in and tell me whether, I need you to go in and tell me if the land is good or not. Not tell me if the enemy is big, not tell me if the enemy is bigger than you. He said, I need you to go in and tell me whether it's good or not. And it's good or not, depending on how big the enemy is. Moses didn't say, I need you to go in. Tell me how big and great the enemy is. He said, I need you to go in. Tell me how good the land is. You will know by how big the enemy is. The goodness of the land was determined by the bigness of the enemy. The bigger the enemy, the bigger the walls, the greater the promise. Some of you are getting it, some of you are not. You're almost there. The bigger the walls, the bigger the enemy, the greater the struggle, the harder it is, the harder it seems with the eye, the greater the promise is from God. He says, I need you to go and tell me whether the land is good or not, dependent on how big the enemy is. So guess what we do when we walk around San Diego? If the enemy is biggest in North County, San Diego, then guess what that means? Our promise is bigger. Our inheritance is bigger. The goodness is better. Because we know that if there's a big enemy there, well then baby, on the other side of a big enemy is a bigger promise. On the other side of a bigger wall is greater protection. We understand that by looking at this. A different spirit can only come when we understand that right there. We have to understand that the bigger the enemy, the greater the promise. That's why when we go up against something, we shouldn't look for the littlest enemy or the smallest person. We need to look for the biggest problem. Give me the biggest problem. Give me the biggest thing. Give me something that people say cannot be done. Because if people say it cannot be done, I know the promise of God is right there. The promise of God always dwells in what can't be done. The blessing of God always dwells in what seems impossible to men. The promise of God always dwells when the people who call themselves leaders but couldn't see how God wants them to see a problem when they should see provision. That's where the promise of God is. So I don't know what you're looking at tonight. I don't know what you see tonight. I don't know what you're looking at in your workplace. I don't know what you're looking at in North County, San Diego. I don't know what you're looking like in your marriage. I don't know what you're looking at in your finances. I don't know what you're looking at in whatever it is that you're going through. But the bigger the struggle looks right now, the greater the promise will be tomorrow. Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit on the inside of them. They had a different spirit because they refused to see exactly what everybody else saw. They were giants to both of them. One saw them as a problem. The other saw it as a promise. One saw it as how evil and bad the land was. Two of them saw it as how great the inheritance will be. because they understood if it's good enough for giants to inhabit, if it's good enough for the best of the best to be in, then I know it's good enough for us, and we're going to take it back because it's a promise from God. Ten saw big people, two saw big God. Ten saw big people, two saw big God. What we have to understand is this, is a big spirit, a different spirit, is not automatic. It's not just something that happens. It's not just something you're born with. It's not just something that you will do one day. A different spirit is something that is acquired over time. A different spirit requires us to grow when everybody else is not growing. A different spirit requires us to do what nobody else is doing, to see what nobody else is seeing, to be where nobody else is at. A different spirit requires us to do things that people will call us crazy for doing. They'll call you loco for even thinking that when everybody else is just sleeping in and wasting their time, you're showing up and you're praying over a school, or you're praying over your neighborhood, or you're praying over your city. Why? Because you know, if I want to get a different spirit, it's going to require me to do something that I've never done before. So check it out. So this came from, and we can dial it down just for a minute while I make this point, but you guys are keeping me on fire. I shared this morning, but I was watching Prince Caspian, Chronicles of Narnia. Those of you who didn't know. And there's a scene with Aslan and Lucy. And Aslan is a representation of Jesus. And Lucy represents a person, man or woman, whatever. Jesus and man. There's this transaction that takes place between the two of them. And it was a powerful moment. And Lucy looks at Aslan and Lucy says, "Wow, you have grown." And his response to her is this. He says, "Yes. Every time you grow, I grow. Every time you grow, I grow." What does that mean? That means that you and I can limit the power of God in our lives. How big we are, how much we grow, how big our faith will determine how big our God is. That doesn't mean that God is sitting up there waiting for us to believe in Him to exist. He will exist nonetheless. He's as big as you and I believe Him to be in our lives. Why? Because God will not move when He's not asked to move. God will not show up if He's not invited. God believes in this thing and created this thing called free will, which means this, that it's our will, whether we believe it or not. It's our will. What are we going to do? What are we going to believe? And so we see this happen here, and this is the whole reason for this message tonight. Because what we understand is this, if I want God to be bigger in my life, then I have to grow personally. A lot of us want a bigger God, we just don't want a bigger us. We want God to show up stronger, but we don't want to do anything differently. We want God to move the mountain, but we don't want to grow ourselves. We want God to move it, but we don't want our faith to grow. Because we know when we have to grow, our faith requires us to live in the uncomfortable place. When we try to grow our faith, that requires us to step out into the waters where we might sink. And so we don't want to step out into the waters, but we want God to move the mountain for us. But what we have to understand is this, is just like Caleb and just like Joshua, is they had a different spirit, because as they grew, God grew. As they spent time with God, then the God in their eyes grew. So when they walked into that promised land, when they saw the giants, they saw it through the eyes and the filters of God, not the eyes and the filter of man. David shows up on the battlefield with Goliath. He shows up and every man says, it's a giant, it's Goliath. He's a man of war from his youth, and you are just a youth. How dare you show up here with no training, with no skill, with no armor, with no sword? How dare you show up and take down this giant who's been a man of war from his youth? But David understands that he can take down Goliath. And the reason he understands that is because before that, he took out a bear and he took out a lion. Now, most people don't dwell on that because they think, well, that's about right. He's a shepherd, so he should take out a lion. And have you ever fought a lion or a bear? I watch Alaska shows. Yeah, pretty much all of them. And one thing I understand is this, is bears are big. They're ferocious. They will tear you apart. They will eat you up. They are way faster than you are. David killed bears without a gun. In fact, the Bible says he would grab the bear by its beard. You got to get really close for that. He said, the Bible says that David would grab the bear by the beard and strike it. David is nuts. Imagine if you're just walking, minding your own business, and you look over and you see a man grabbing a bear by its beard. He's crazy. Not even that, lions. You ever see what lions can do? Crazy things. They can take down elephants, and elephants are big. So what we see is this, is David killed bears, and David killed lions. So David understood that he could kill Goliath. Because David was building his faith when no one was looking. David was building his belief. David was building what he saw. So when he saw Goliath, when he stood on that, he no longer saw a man of war from his youth. He could look back at what he defeated back then, and he saw it exactly the same. He didn't see the bigness of his giant. He saw the greatness of his God. He had a different spirit on the inside of him, so he understood that it doesn't matter what I face today. It doesn't matter what I face tomorrow. It doesn't matter what's going to happen 100 years from now. It doesn't matter what's going to come in my life tomorrow. It doesn't matter. All I know is that God doesn't change in my life. So if he helped me here, he's going to help me there. I took down a giant yesterday. I'm going to take down a giant today. I got a different spirit. A different spirit is not a respecter of zip codes. A different spirit is not a respecter of North County or Central County or South County. A different spirit is not a respecter of economic trials and tribulations. A different spirit is not a respecter of what you're facing. A different spirit is not a respecter of a negative doctor's report. A different spirit is not a respecter of what man might say, or what dad might say, or what mom might say. A different spirit stays the course. A different spirit believes when nobody else believes. A different spirit trust when nobody else trusts. A different spirit continues to grow when everybody else goes home. That's a different spirit. Because the more I grow, the bigger God gets. We have to understand this, that if I want to grow, I have to do what I can't do. If I want to grow, I have to do what I can't do. What do I mean by that? It means if you want to believe for a house, believe for a car. If you want to believe for something impossible that seems way out of reach, you have to take steps along the way. You have to build up this thing called the faith muscle. You have to cultivate a different spirit. You're not going to wake up one day. It's not just going to happen after one service tonight. I can't just lay my hands on you and a different spirit comes and then you never have to work on it ever again. You can get it tonight, but then you got to wake up tomorrow and get it again. Then you got to wake up Tuesday morning and get it again. You got to wake up Wednesday and get it again. It's not something that happens once. It's a mindset that happens all the time. It's something you have to constantly believe in, constantly do, constantly fight for, constantly go for. You have to continually take new ground so that you can cultivate that different spirit. You have to constantly do things that you've never done before so you can see things that you've never seen before. The smaller your resource, the greater your faith must be. That's why if you're ever in a workplace scenario and your boss says, well, nobody has ever done this before, be the first person to sign up for that task. If you're in a place that nobody's ever conquered this before, nobody's ever seen this before, then sign me up for that, baby, because I know what God has for me in my journey is little steps of faith. My journey is little steps of the uncomfortable. My journey is little steps of I couldn't believe for this yet, so I'm going to believe for this today. And then I'm going to get closer to it. I'm going to get closer to it. I'm going to get closer to it until I can get what God promised me to get. And that's where a different spirit comes from. different spirit comes from you constantly believing day after day after day, fighting for it and fighting for it and fighting for it, and constantly saying, give me everything that cannot be done, because I know that my mindset has changed and I might not have it today, but I'm going to believe for it today. There's a miracle waiting to happen in San Diego. There's breakthrough waiting to happen in our city. There's something waiting to happen in your life and in my life. There's something waiting to happen in our neighborhoods, in every high school, and in every college. God wants to do something. But just like I said before, God's not just going to point his finger and make it happen. He's waiting for you, and he's waiting for me to have a different spirit, so when we walk onto that school, we no longer see how big the giant is. We just see how big our God is. We see this. We see the greater the enemy, the greater the promise. You told me that it's impossible to get on schools. You told us that it's impossible to see a college won. You told us it's impossible to see our friends won. Well, guess what? Sign me up, because I want to take down that giant called impossible, because I know the big. The bigger the giant is, the bigger my God is going to be. And every time I take a step that I don't know what's going to happen, every time I take a step in faith, every time I take a step, every time I believe when nobody else believes, it builds that muscle on the inside of me and sets me up for what God is going to have me do tomorrow. See, every day I got to take another step in the right direction, because I know tomorrow God wants me to do something that I've never done before. He wants you to do something that you've never done before. So your step today is just setting you up for the miracle for tomorrow. That's why the step today is so important. You want to know why I can believe that our 12 p.m. service, who are led by the Fins, is going to be overflowing with people, can be one of the fastest growing services in all of San Diego. You want to know why I believe that? It's because they believe for a baby. So I know because they believe for a baby, they can believe for a service. I know because they believe for a miracle, they can believe for many miracles. That's how we have to operate. A different spirit doesn't just believe big and that's it. A different spirit has to believe for this thing today so I can believe for the next thing tomorrow. And we can't just do it once. We have to do it every day. We have to do it all the time. It has to be a lifestyle that we live, not a moment, not just a one-time thing, but an everyday encounter with God, where every day, God, help me to see what I can't see before. Help me to believe for my city that nobody else believes for. Help me to see my school like nobody else sees it. Help me to see my college like nobody else sees it. God, when I step into my workplace, I don't want to see it as a bunch of people that will never know you. I want to step in and see it as a place where everybody worships you. God, when I step into my city, when I walk the streets of North County, San Diego, God, I don't want to see people not following you. I want to see people getting out of their homes at 9 a.m., getting into their cars, and every person driving to church every morning and lifting their hands in worship. God, help me to believe that. But we have to if I want to see that tomorrow, I have to believe for one thing today. I have to believe for the impossible today. It was kind of easy to believe for the building over there, because we believed for little things along the way. We believed for other buildings. We believed for houses. We believed for babies. So when that thing came, it wasn't that big of a deal, because we had exercised and built our faith muscle. So if you're struggling to believe for something today, something so big that looks like you can never have it, can I encourage you to just take a step in faith for something? Take a step. Maybe that's just lifting your hands in worship. Maybe that's giving in the offering. Whatever that thing may be, whatever it is, take a little step. Because a bunch of little steps equal something great. A bunch of little moments of faith can determine something great. God is looking. He's looking for men and women like you, like me, that will see how big God is. My giant is just an indication of my promise. My giant is just an indication of what God has for me. those great walls that you think are going to keep us out, they just built to keep us safe. How do we see? Do we see the same way as everybody? How do you see your city when you look for it? How do you see your family when you pray for them? How do you see your kids when you pray for them? How do you see your marriage when you pray for it? You don't see it for what it is. You see it for what God has for it. You continually see what nobody else sees. The people groaned, the people complained, the people went. 10 of them, the Bible says, told all the inhabitants of Israel how big the giants were, how great the enemy was. The Bible says that all the people lifted up their voice and cried. So we understand this, that the faithless or the faithful will determine the cry or the shout of the people. If we are faithless, our city will cry. If we can be faithful, our city can shout. If we want victory for our city, we have to see what nobody else sees. We have to have a different spirit, because every time we grow, God grows. Every time we take another step, God moves with us. He's waiting for us to step out of the boat and step into what he has for us. Step into that land. Step into that promise. Step into that job. You might have a dream for this job, and you might not get it tomorrow, but you can get something today. You can get part of the miracle today. Now, you might not walk out of here. Some people might get an instant miracle today, and I'm totally into that. In fact, I prefer that sometimes. But the truth is this, sometimes God doesn't. You want to know why? Because God cares more about the journey than he does about the destination. God understands this, that in order for you to continue to believe, you continually have to fight. If we had everything we ever wanted today, we wouldn't have to build our faith for tomorrow. So some of you are going to get an instant miracle tonight. Some of you, it's going to happen, and we'll all rejoice with you. Some it'll be fake, but other people are going to rejoice with you. Some of you are going to have to fight for it. Some of you are going to have to change the way that you live, the way that you think, the way that you pray, the way that you give, the way that you serve. Some of you are going to have to change the lifestyle that you live in order for you to see the promise for tomorrow. Some of you are going to have to do something that you've never done before. Some of you are going to have to believe and see. Some of you are going to have to throw out negative and only see positive. Some of you are going to have to see that giant that's in front of you right now and not see it as a problem, see it as a promise. Because, man, that battle that I'm fighting today is just going to make me more passionate for what's going to happen tomorrow. We're going to have a different spirit on the inside of us. See, I might not be the best at a lot of things, but there's one thing that I know that I got to do, and I have to be able to see what nobody else is seeing. And I have to constantly believe that tomorrow can be better than today. We have to constantly be believing for that in our lives. The smaller my resource, the greater my faith must be. That's why we want all the resources to accomplish the vision. But God doesn't. He wants to give us little resource so we can have greater faith. Because with greater resource comes smaller faith. God's not concerned about the resource. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He owns the hills. He owns everything. He can do whatever he wants. So guess what? God says this, I got all the resource. Just give me the faith. Because when our faith grows, everything else comes. We pray for God, just give me the resource. God, just give me a check. But God says, I'm going to give you the wisdom, and I want you to have the faith so you can get out there. So it's not just a one-time check, but it's a daily check that you get because you stepped out in faith. See, you got to understand that a different spirit is not just a one-time thing. A different spirit is every day, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. It's a moment where you can say, God, I don't just want a breakthrough for just now. I want a breakthrough for my tomorrow. I want a different spirit for somebody's tomorrow. I want a different spirit for my school. I want a different spirit for my workplace. I want a different spirit for the millions and billions of people that do not know you. Give me a different spirit so when I see 7.1 ever billion people on this planet, I can see every single one of them in the presence of God. Let me see what nobody else is seeing. God, give me a different spirit. Help me see what nobody else is seeing. But Caleb and Joshua had a different spirit. That's why God gave that land to Caleb. He gave it to Caleb because Caleb saw what nobody else could see. So I know this. I know tonight God has something special for you. He's got something new for you. He's got something different for you. And that's all going to come by shifting your perspective today. What's the filter that you're looking through? Is it a filter of negativity? Is it a filter of pessimistic? What's that filter that's on your life right now? When you see, do you see hopeless or can you see hopeful? When you see, can you see negative or positive? Can you see sickness or can you see healing? What do you see? It's kind of the end of our series, Go Into the Next Level. In order for us to go to the next level, in order for us to have a different spirit, it's all determined by the growth that we determine to have. I want to continually grow so I can continually see. Because guess what? And I'm going to end and we're going to pray. It's going to be great. Is what I'm going to get today is determined by what I saw yesterday. But what can happen tomorrow is determined by what I see today. So if I want to see something different tomorrow, I have to change what I see today. What got me to today cannot get me to tomorrow. I can't continue to keep living and thinking the same way in order for me to take that giant that I took before. Because God's goal is not for you to take out smaller giants. If you're a servant of God, if you call yourself a Christian, it's not about the small giants because God has a bigger giant for you tomorrow. So we have to take out the small giant today so we can take out the big giant tomorrow. So I want to encourage you, why don't we all stand to our feet? Some of us want more resource so we can get the job done. But God actually wants less resource, so we need him more. He wants us, he's going to give us less resource, so we have to depend on him. I know for some of you, that's not really good news. That doesn't mean less resource is going to come, because it's going to come, and it will come. But it's going to come not from a genie in a bottle, but from a man on his knees. It's going to come from a person with faith, not a genie in a bottle. It's going to come from somebody that says this. Because people say, oh my gosh, how did that happen? How did that miracle happen? Must have just been automatic. You must just be really blessed. Yeah, I'm really blessed because I really worked. Yeah, we're really blessed because we really had faith. Yeah, we're really blessed because we were really faithful. Yeah, we really got that resource because we really trusted in God. When nobody was looking, I got what everybody can see. So right now, we're gonna pray. The band's gonna sing a song, and we're gonna spend the next 10 minutes and just open up this altar right now. And as the altar is opened up, I want to really encourage you to not leave until this moment happens, because you might be good. You might have the biggest faith muscle on planet Earth. Come and see me, and we can put that faith muscle to good use. But maybe there's some people in here that need something, and your faith can help get them a miracle. Your faith can help them get them breakthrough. If we want to go to the next level, we have to grow to the next level. Some of you, to grow, you just got to step out. Some of you never walked to the forward before, walked forward before because we're too concerned about what people might think. And your next level, your different spirit is just you coming forward. Your different spirit is you coming forward when everybody can see you and saying, I care more about the promise than I do about the giant. That the enemy that you might be facing might be popular opinion. The enemy that you might be facing might be uncertainty. The enemy you might be facing might be fear of man. The enemy you might be facing might be addiction. The enemy you might be facing might be depression or fear or anxiety. I don't know what it is, but I know tonight that before you leave, don't leave here staying where you're at. And if you got to come forward and spend some time in the presence of God, then spend time in the presence of God. Because I've seen too many miracles happen when people come to not believe that it's not power on the altar. Because the altar alters. The altar will change your life. Change the way that we think. God, I got something big for tomorrow, so help me take a little step today. God's not asking you to do what you can't do. He's asking you to do what you can do. He's asking you to do what you can do today. What can you do? You might not be able to do everything, but you can lift your hands. You might not be able to do everything that, you know, people are asking of you, but you can walk forward. You can take a little step today. You can see things differently today. David couldn't have taken out Goliath unless he had taken out a bear. David couldn't have taken out Goliath unless he could take out a lion. David couldn't have taken out Goliath if he couldn't have taken care of a few sheep. He couldn't have looked after a nation if he couldn't look after a few sheep. See, he understood this, that I have to defeat these ones so I can defeat the big one. I have to see things differently today so I can see the giant differently tomorrow. As you come, I want to encourage you, whatever that giant is, don't see it as something there to take you out. See it as something there to take you up. Because your giant will take you up, not take you out. But it's not determined on the giant. It's determined on how I think, on the faith that's on the inside of me. Let the faith see that giant is a stepping stone, not something that will wipe you out. So David says, this day I will take your head from your shoulders. He saw Goliath as a stepping stone, not something there to take him out. God's got something different for you. God's got breakthrough for you. He's got a school for you. He's got a college for you. He's got a workplace for you. He's got a neighborhood for you. He's got a city for you. He's got a nation for you. He's got people depending on us to have a different spirit that I will see differently than everybody else sees. So come on, why don't we come on out here, band. We're gonna sing this song. This is what we're gonna do. I just want you, as we sing this song, we got 7 minutes. Just stay for 7 minutes. And I want you to come in just a second. I want you to come down here. And I want you just to lift your hands up. And then in about a couple minutes, I'm gonna come and pray for it. Before I come and pray for it, I want you just to change the way that you see. Change the way that you see. You change the way you see, you're gonna change what happens in you. And then we're just gonna pray for you really quick. God's gonna do something great in your life. Miracles are gonna break open in people's hearts tonight. You might get an instant miracle, but every single one of you is going to get a different spirit tonight. So come on, why don't we lift our hands? Let's sing this song today. Come on, the altar's open, so if you want to come, just come.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about our pastors, team, and what we do at C3 Church San Diego, go to c3sandiego.com.